This is the fourth week of our sermon series, Changing Our Focus. And as I mentioned before, today we are doing things a little different. Now, there is a reason we have our usual order of service. It is an orderly worship based on Scripture. But as usual, when we change things up, we change things because we have a purpose. Now, when we think about our God, when He created the skies, the land, and the animals, He proclaimed them to be good. But when God created us male and female, it was only then He proclaimed that it was very good. For God created us in His image, and we were created to be in relationship with God, to walk with God, to talk with God. It was our sin that broke the relationship that God created. For God is a God of light and goodness, and in Him is no darkness or evil. And since the time of our fall, God has never stopped loving us. God has never stopped providing a means of restoring that relationship. And in the Bible, we find many stories of people who had close relationships with God. Noah had a deep and profound relationship with God that allowed him and his family to escape judgment during the flood. In the New Testament, we read that Abraham was called a friend of God. And through Abraham's relationship with God, a whole nation was born. Moses had a special relationship. And through Moses, that nation was delivered from slavery. And through Moses, the law of God was given to His people. And there are many other men and women in the Bible that had a special relationship with God. But perhaps no other person had a relationship like David. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. Most of us know the story of the little shepherd boy who, through his deep faith, defeated a giant. But what many people don't know is that this young boy was a poet, a songwriter, and a musician. Most scholars believe that David wrote at least 73 of the 150 Psalms in our scriptures. David was so good that as a young man, he was brought to the king. King Saul had headaches and problems sleeping and all kinds of other concerns. And it was David's music that brought soothing comfort to him. And if you read through the Psalms give us a good picture of David's relationship with God. I mean, in his Psalms, David talked to God. David asked God questions. David praised God for victories. And David cried out in anguish during his darkest days. And David turned to God's strength when he was afraid. Through the Psalms, we see that David studied God's word, that he remembered the law, that he remembered the prophets. He acknowledged God's love, and he acknowledged both God's judgment and God's grace. David had a deep and meaningful relationship with God. Now think about every good relationship that you've ever had. That relationship was built on trust. In that relationship, you spent time together. You talked to each other. You laughed together. You cried together. And for those of you like the Colemans and the Chrismans, you know to continue to make a marriage relationship work, and for a very long time, 55, right? You have to be intentional, don't you? To make a marriage last, to have that kind of relationship, you have to work at it. You have to be intentional. You have to set aside time together. You have to communicate with each other. You must have patience and understanding. And more importantly, you have to have trust. And in a marriage or other relationship, what happens when one or both of you become lax in that relationship? What happens when you stop being intentional? What happens when you stop making time for each other? What happens when you stop communicating with each other? Your relationship starts to falter, doesn't it? And if you let it go too long, it dissipates and breaks apart. David, who was a man after God's own heart, ended up having problems. His relationship with God goes terribly wrong when he becomes lax in that relationship. We go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. See, as the anointed king of Israel, David had responsibilities. David is supposed to be out leading the army under God's direction. But David decides to sit this one out. See, David had become conceited. David had become soft in his relationship with God. And when we read on the scripture, do we see David at home reading his Bible? Is David out worshiping God at the altar? Is David writing more poetry or songs to God? No. We find that David was no longer focused on God. David was no longer being intentional in his godly relationship. And we have to ask ourselves, what could have possibly changed a man after God's own heart? And in verse 2, it says, one evening, David got up from his bed, walked around on the roof of the palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. See, when David stopped being intentional in his relationship with God, he allowed sin to creep into his life. His sin of adultery led to more lies and eventually led to murder. You see, our sin hurts our relationship with God. It is God's grace through Jesus Christ that can redeem our relationship. But if we don't maintain our relationship with God, if we are not intentional about our relationship with God, we too will return to sin. And our sin will push us further and further away from God. And our message and our service today is all about being intentional in our relationship with God. Coming together for worship is supposed to be intentional, but all too often it has become routine. Now ask yourself this. Why did you come and join us today? Did you come because, well, it's Sunday and that's just what I do on Sundays? Or did you actually come to have an encounter with God? Did you come here to actually worship God? Did you come here to build your relationship with God? Today I want us to pause. Today I want us to be intentional about being with God. I want you to be renewed. I want you to feel restored when you leave here. I want you to grow deeper in your faith. I want you to feel connected to God. Gathering for worship is just one way to maintain our relationship with God. There are times I wish we could just gather and worship together every single day. But unfortunately, we can't do that. But on a day-to-day basis, we need to find ways to be intentional with our relationship with God. It can't be just a once-a-week thing. We need to be intentional every day in our relationship with God. I'm sure each of us would love to hear the audible voice of God sometimes. Wouldn't that be nice? Just to be walking along and say, Scott, next Sunday, here are the exact words you need to do. And I could just get out my pen and say, thanks. Scott, you got a big decision coming up in your life. Don't let your son do that. Don't go to that college. Wouldn't that be nice if God was speaking to us? I think God was telling Tim to retire several times, but he wasn't listening, right? But wouldn't that be nice? But you see, most of us aren't hearing those audible voices. If you do, please come talk to me. I'd like to hear about it. But God does speak to me, but he speaks to me differently. And he speaks to most of us through his word in a different form. From Timothy, Paul writes, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, Scripture is incredibly important in our relationship with God. It is one of the ways that God talks to us. The Holy Scriptures provide us the basis of our relationship with God. The Holy Scripture provides us a framework for our lives. It keeps us in the bounds of a healthy and committed relationship with God. And if you want to connect with God in the Scriptures, you need to do more than just read them. And it's great if you're on one of those reading plans where you read the Bible in a year. But what happens? I know what happens to me. I end up saying, okay, got to get through these three chapters today. And man, I'm speed reading right through them. And later in the day, I couldn't tell you what I read. But this is what God tells us to do in Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You see, for God's word to be effective, God's word needs to be immersed into every part of our lives. God's word needs to become a part of who you are. And we shouldn't just take God's words lightly when we read them. When we read God's word, we need to meditate on God's word. We need to chew on it. We need to let it resonate. We need to let it just flow around inside of us. We need to ponder what God is saying. And then we need to follow it. I've had people ask me in the service, Why do you have Carla stand up and read the scriptures, and then you come back and you read them again in your sermon? Because I believe that you need to see the Word of God on its own. You need to hear God's Word without me messing it up. You need to see it. You need to hear it. You need to ponder it. You need to chew on it. You need to say, God, what do you have for me today? And before you go into any scriptures, or when somebody else is reading scriptures, it's easy to put the blinders on, right? You get up and someone starts talking and you just kind of start hearing the noise like the Snoopy's teacher, right? Wah, 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 wah. But see, that's not how we're supposed to treat God's Word. Because all Scripture is what? God breathed. These words that are words that have stood the test of time, these are words that people have died for, these are words that people put their lives at risk to write, to share, to pass on, and to save. They're sacred, they're holy, they're God's Word. And when we hear them, our ears should perk up. And we should look at it and say, God, what do you have for me today? What can you show me through your Word today? And then you take that Word. You don't need to read chapters at a time. You can read a few verses and chew on it and ponder it and say, God, what do you have for me today? David wrote in the Psalms that God's Word was a lamp unto his feet. And our relationship with God changes when we allow God to use his Word to lead us through our lives. Today, as you hear the scriptures, I want you to take in the words and the images and just allow God to speak to you. Today I've chosen the 23rd Psalm because it is a scripture most of us know fairly well. But how often have you really chewed on it verse by verse? When was the last time you allowed God to truly speak to you through his holy scriptures?
Hear the words from Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As your children, we come to you to celebrate you, our Holy Father. And as your children, you love us. You want to hold us close to you. And you want us to be blessed. And we simply need to respond to you and move closer to you. And Lord, because of your gracious love and because of what you have blessed us with, today we come back to you and honor you with these gifts of tithes and offerings.
Lord, may they truly be a representation of our heart and our love for you. And Lord, may you take these gifts, may you add your blessing to them, so that through these gifts we may further your kingdom, so that other people may have the same kind of relationship that we have, so that they can know you as our Father and their Father, and through our love they may know your Son, Jesus Christ, as well. All of this we ask and pray in your Son's holy name, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
One of the key components to every relationship is communication. A breakdown in communication leads to problems. Now just imagine if every day I came home and from the moment that I saw Carla, I went into a rant. Boy, you can't believe the boys today. Do you know what they did when they got home from school? They got all this stuff out and you see the mess that they left? It's awful. And then on top of it, today was a horrible day at work. You wouldn't believe the things I had to deal with. Somebody called and they were complaining about this silly little thing in the church and I just can't believe it. All right, see you later. And then I just walked away. Do you think it would be healthy if every day I just walked away and didn't stop and listen to her? To hear her advice? Maybe to hear words of comfort or consolation? Or how about taking a moment to listen about her day? Shouldn't I spend time listening to her? Now, don't we do the same thing in our prayers? Boy, when it's time to pray, we come hard and fast and we unload on God, don't we? Oh God, I went to the doctor today and I didn't like the test results and I don't know what's coming. God, can you help me? Can you please take care of me? I don't want this to go away. And oh God, my grandchild is over here and they're making bad decisions and can you just go and influence their lives? And oh God, by the way, the politics is just, oh, unreal. Can you believe that party? I can't believe we have this going on and that going on and they voted for that and this is awful. Can you take care of the widows and the orphans? I love you. See you later, God. Isn't that how we pray? We just abruptly abandon the conversation and then we move on and expect God to just say, okay, whatever you say. But you see, that's not God's design for our prayers. From Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Does that sound like your typical prayer? To stop, to rejoice, to turn to God, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see what a healthy prayer life does for you? If you do it right, if you just don't go unload and then abandon God, a healthy prayer life removes your anxiety. A healthy prayer life gives you peace. A healthy prayer life brings you joy. And more importantly, a healthy prayer life keeps you in step with your relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Because see, when we're praying, we're not just talking, we're listening. We're spending time together. It doesn't say that we'll get all the answers that we want, does it?